know, this is just an in-house debate. We both believe the same book, and this really isn't me against Jake. This is what we both believe the same Bible, but he believes he sees something, and I believe I see something different, and it's according to Scripture.
Right.
So all that we're doing is presenting you the evidence. He gave his view last week. Just give me the opportunity with the same view this week. And then you search the Scriptures, you take the verses, you go to it, you ask the Lord, and let Him show you. And the truth is, we are in agreement on just about everything. We know that this is the second coming, Jesus Christ, and we're all on the same page there.
Right.
He is coming at the end, right? He's not coming before the tribulation. Right. He's coming at the end. So the only disagreement we have, this is the day of the Lord, this is when Jesus comes, this is the great white throne judgment. So the only disagreement we have is, I'm not even going to say Jake.
Yes,
as a matter of fact, I'll say most people are on that side. Yeah. I would say I'm in the minority.
Yeah.
That people, humans, survive the tribulation and enter into the millennial reign in their mortal flesh, and they marry and are given in marriage. And the new heaven and the new earth is at the end. And I do that. That's what I believe most people do believe. So I would say, I'll say that for them. I am in the minority. I take the view that I believe the Bible says the end of the world is here. And this is the new heaven and the new earth. And only resurrected people survive. There are no procreating. There's no marriage or given in marriage during the millennial. And as a matter of fact, I've actually come to, since Tuesday, of studying it, I've now come to the belief that it's just us on the earth. So if this is the earth, this is hell, this is heaven, I actually have come from what I believe. When I say I believe, I'm not saying it's my opinion. I believe that's what the Bible says.
Right.
But let God be true and every man a liar. I be wrong. I've been proven wrong. God has used men to prove me wrong. So this is what I believe, that when Christ comes, the judgment seat, all the unbelievers go to hell and they're released at the great white throne judgment. And heaven comes down. This is something new to me. So what I'm going to do is, my view of this is, I'm going to show it, I'm going to show it four ways. One is tabernacles, the Feast of Tabernacles. So that is when God dwells with man.
Okay.
Right? Number two, I think that is the marriage. The marriage. Number three is God's wrath. And number four is the new heaven. New heaven and the new earth. When are they? So, I mean, we can get into, and what this is really going to do is, we're going to start next week, we're going to start looking at this event in its totality. I'm just taking four of it. Next week, we're going to start looking at all of it. Armageddon, and because this is really what's been asked since I've been here, is, well, we get this, but what about this day?
Right.
So I think we're going to start getting into this next week and try to get an understanding of how this day, because there's a lot that goes on this day. The sun and moon darken, earthquakes, Armageddon, judgment seat of Christ. There's a lot that happens on this day. And once again, I'm not saying I have all the answers, but studying the Scriptures, I do believe I've seen a pattern there and how they play out. So, when you look at the feasts, Jesus Christ fulfills all the feasts. We all know that, right? He crucified on Passover. He was in the grave on unleavened bread. He actually honored the Sabbath, so he'd be crucified Thursday morning. He was in the grave on Friday.
Yeah.
He honored the Sabbath by resting and doing those who survived work. He rose on first fruits of the spring, tomorrow after the Sabbath.
Right.
He rose on Sunday for first fruits of the spring harvest. This is a transit. This is partially fulfilled. This is a transitional to these. So the next feasts that have to be fulfilled are trumpets, atonement, and tabernacles. Pentecost came, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was poured out. The Holy Spirit was poured out on a multitude of people. There were miracles. There were speaking tongues. God indwelt the Holy Spirit indwelt masses of people at a time. That was a partial fulfillment. Well, there's a lag of writing to this.
Right.
And that's here, when he comes. And with that lag of writing, we've all studied it, we've all looked at it, he's taught on it, that there are going to be miracles. There's going to be good things happening. But with it comes the resurrection. The finality of the Pentecost is that the lag of rain, the first fruits, Jesus, when he rose, he was the first fruits. When you receive the Holy Spirit, that is the first fruits of the Spirit. You need to rise. So the latter rain of resurrection is coming with it. Okay? So, all right, so this is where I'm going with this, is all these, everything to me gets concluded on the day of the Lord. All the feasts and everything is when Jesus Christ comes. So, if God is coming, the tabernacles is coming, that's when God dwells with man. That's when he comes down to the earth. The kingdom of heaven comes, the kingdom of our Lord. And we're going to do it. We'll see the verses for it. So God is going to dwell on the earth with man. And just out of simplicity, how can mortal man look upon God and live? Because he's going to be dwelling here with us. So I just saw the verses here for you. Exodus 19:21. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down and charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze upon me, and many of them shall perish. John 1:18. No man hath seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared unto him. 1 Timothy 6:14-16. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in times past he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings, Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, that no man can approach, unto whom no man hath seen, nor can see. You cannot see him in his glorious appearing. Go ahead.
Isn't that going to be our Lord Jesus Christ himself in person ruling?
But here you go. He's saying no man can see him in his glory. But he's going to be on the earth. How are we going to see him in his glory unless I'm glorified? How is mortal man going to look on his holiness and not die? Okay? So Numbers 14:20-21, and the Lord said, I have hardened according to thy word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with my glory of the Lord. All the earth. So it's all the earth that's going to be filled with the glory of God. How is mortal man going to live, survive that? Looking upon the glory of God.
Is that a rhetorical question, or can I know you don't, you want to get through your thing. But just real quick, didn't Peter and John and James see him?
There was a cloud.
Yeah,
there was a cloud.
They
were veiled.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, they were, all right, okay.
Okay, so, right?
Mm-hmm.
Numbers, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. So tabernacles. Feast of Tabernacles. This is what the feast is. It is called booth. It's when man puts over him a tabernacle.
Right.
This is a resurrection. And this is when God dwells with man. We'll see it. Exodus 29:45-46. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and I will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them, and I am the Lord their God. So when he took them out of Egypt, did he dwell with them? Not physically. As a matter of fact, they didn't know him because they rejected him.
Yeah.
Right? Except for Joshua and Caleb.
Fire, right?
Except for Joshua and Caleb.
Yeah.
All the rest rejected him. So he didn't physically dwell with them. 1 Kings 6:11-14. And the word of the Lord came unto Solomon, saying, concerning the house which thou art building, if thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments, and keep all my commandments to walk in them, I will perform my words with thee, which I spake unto David thy father. And I will dwell among the children of Israel. This is God the Father. And I will not forsake my people Israel. So Solomon built a house and finished it. And then you go over to 1 Kings 8:27. But will God indeed dwell on earth? Yes. And the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have built. Right? So clearly verses are saying that not only Jesus Christ, but God the Father is going to dwell on here. Daniel 7:13-14. And I saw in the night vision, and behold, the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven. What event is that? It's here, right? To the Ancient of Days. The Ancient of Days is God the Father. And they brought him near, and there was given unto him dominion and a glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations, languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, shall not pass away. And his kingdom shall not be destroyed until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints. When do we judge here? When do we... See, Jesus is going to judge the world by us, right? He's coming as judge. He's going to... When? Here. Of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. When do we possess the kingdom? Here? Or here? Here. When he comes. Okay, Zechariah 2:10-13. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall my people and I dwell in the land in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O flesh, before the Lord, for he hath raised up a holy habitation. Okay, so Matthew 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right? Okay, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is coming here. If you're going to get the kingdom and you're going to get the earth, where's the kingdom going to be? On the earth. Shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. See God. Not just Jesus, the Godhead. This is what everyone's waiting for. This finality, when the Godhead comes and dwells on the earth, takes the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. So if this kingdom is coming down, these kingdoms are going down. Those kingdoms are not going to dwell on the earth with his kingdom. There's only going to be one kingdom on the earth. His kingdom. Blessed are the pizza makers. Okay, I'm going to read that again. Blessed are the, I'm going to read it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for the, I'm going to say that again. For they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they when they are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. When? When he comes, we get the kingdom, and he defeats those kingdoms. He says that sit down at my right hand till I make thy enemies my your footstool. Footstool means they're under him. Matthew 6:10, the prayer, not the Lord's prayer, the people's prayer, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 26:62-64, he's talking to the Pharisees. 2,000 years ago, these people are dead and they're burning in hell. Look what he says to them. And the priest and the high priest arose and said unto them, answerest thou nothing? What is it that these witness against thee? For Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto them, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said, yup. Right? Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power. Who's the power? God. Who's on the throne? God. Coming in the clouds of heaven. Mm-hmm. So he's coming with the Father in the Father's kingdom. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them. I get it. He's in here dwelling in here.
Right.
He's going to walk with us.
Right.
Where? Here. And I will walk with them. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. This has been the promise since Adam and Eve. This, that God is going to dwell amongst his people again, physically. Titus, God the Father and the Son, Titus 2:13. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ at the same time. Revelation 6:14-17. And heaven departed, right? So now we can see into the dimension, we can see the kingdom of heaven. Heaven departed as a scroll and is rolled together. Every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief men, mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves into the dens and into the rocks of the mountains. Why are they hiding in? Because he's coming. His glory is coming. They want to run from it. And he said to the mountains, to the rocks, fall on us, kill us, hide us from him that sitteth on the throne. Who's sitting on the throne? The Father. To him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. That's this event. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Us. Okay, to me, this is tabernacles. And I'm going to say it again. We're going to move on to this one. We're going to move on to the marriage now. How can God dwell on the earth on a cursed earth? This earth is cursed. A holy, mighty God is going to dwell on the earth, on a cursed earth, with mortal people that are going to look upon him. It doesn't make sense to me spiritually. I gave you the verses, you chase them down. Okay, so there's a marriage feast. If people survive the tribulation in their mortal bodies, and the marriage feast is here, when do they marry? If they survive this, when do they marry? And I'll show you what I mean. Because you need a wedding garment to get in here. So when do they marry? Is he a polygamist that's going to marry a group of people one time and then 1,000 years later? Because I only read one marriage feast in your Bible. So here's the next one, the marriage feast. And they were eating, and Jesus took bread and blessed and said, and brake, and gave it to his disciples, said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave unto them, and said, drink ye all of it. For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for remissions of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth, future. Henceforth means future. Future hereafter means from now on. Henceforth means future. I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of this vine until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So, is the marriage, doesn't make sense. If the Father's kingdom is here, Christ is coming here, the marriage feast is here, the communion, the real communion that takes place is here, and he called it his Father's kingdom, not the kingdoms of this world. Okay, Revelation 19, 5 through 9, marriage. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard a great voice of a great multitude. Turn to Revelation 7:9. Does this not sound familiar? You tell me what event Revelation 7:9 is. And I heard a great voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, the Lord God of omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad, and let us rejoice, and give honor, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife has made herself ready, and she would that, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. Do you see it, Pastor? 7:9, 7:13, and 14.
I was in the restroom, so I didn't even know what you were.
Okay, so somebody got there, Revelation 7:9, 13, and 14.
Oh, you want me to read it?
If anybody wants to read it.
After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, who stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hands. And skip over to 13.
13 and 14.
And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes white, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.
Oh, so that's a resurrection. Arrayed, they're now arrayed, they're clothed. They're clothed with white raiment, arrayed, and yet he, in Revelation 19:5-9, he's saying that's the marriage. I'll read it again. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, blessed, that's Revelation 20, blessed do you have part in the first resurrection at the second death. Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are true sayings of God. Okay, so clearly you need to be arrayed in white raiment. How is this person in his mortal body going to marry Christ if he survived it? So, and here's the key, Matthew 22:4. And again, he sent forth other servants. This is the parable of the marriage supper of the king's son. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatling, and fatlings are killed, and all things are ready to come unto the marriage. And when the king came to see the guest, he saw a man there which had not a wedding garment. He didn't have a wedding. And he saith unto him, friend, how comest thou hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, few are chosen. He couldn't get in without his wedding garment. Mm-hmm. And I'm told the wedding garment is a resurrected body. How does the mortal survive this? When does he marry Christ if he can't marry him without a wedding garment? Is there going to be another marriage here at another resurrection? The Bible doesn't say there's another marriage. Is God a polygamist where he's going to marry a group of people now and then a group of people later?
I have a question now. Why do you think he uses the word guest as opposed to bride there in that marriage feast?
I don't know. You?
No. Yeah. But it could imply that there are people there that are not the bride. And I'm not saying it is. I'm just, as you're reading it, plus when I've studied it before, I'm...
So I would think the parable takes spiritually to represent the heavenly.
Well, it could be. I don't know.
That's a good question. I don't know. You know, all I can see is you need a wedding garment for the marriage.
Okay. What is the definition using of the word under? Technically, you said that the unsaved are under the earth, they're out. But couldn't you also use the word under as subjugated? You know, they're not part of the marriage, but still.
Yeah, under could be under somebody's authority, but it also could be under something.
Yeah, well, I'm saying that would be a place for them to be as on the earth there, but subjugated to the state.
I get what you're saying, but it could also mean that they are literally underneath
too. How long is this day of the Lord? Is this a 24-hour day?
That's right. And I think we all agree. It's a 24-hour day.
Well, all these people hiding and taking time to hide. That's
5 months. That's prior.
Yeah. There's a build-up to it. It's tribulation. But the day of the Lord is a 24-hour period. Okay. And really, does he need 24 hours to do all this? He could do everything like that. Did he need 6 days to create and rest?
He can do it. It's like, do these people have time to do it?
In the physical realm, would they have time to? I see what you're saying.
What?
And a lot of the folks, all they're doing is observing it, right? I mean, running into the rocks, that was the 5 months of the scorpion tormenting people. They couldn't die. So they had time, you know, they had 5 months to scurry about. But then the day of the Lord, and that time comes down, the sky's rolled back as a scroll and all that, that we see as a 24-hour span of time, one day.
Yeah, and the rocks falling on people, it says they want the rocks to fall.
And they don't.
That doesn't necessarily mean it happens.
Right.
Right? And plus, we'll get into this next week. Armageddon, people are being taken. Two are in the field, one is taken, one is left. They are taken, physically taken to Armageddon. They're the ones taken. The ones that are left are a remnant of Israel that has gone out into the world and is not in the land of Israel. Those are the ones left. We're going, okay, so this is just the marriage. So, okay, I get it. I understand what people are saying, but can you also see what I'm trying to say is that you need a wedding garment to be in the marriage, and it's God's kingdom. It's not the world's kingdom. It's God's kingdom. So we're going to move on to wrath now. So I'll just say this. If we all read the Bible, we all study the Bible, can you give me, I'll just take three examples. Sodom and Gomorrah, Noah's flood, and Jericho, where the unbeliever survived. The unbeliever. Can you give me one example, one, like Bible says, example, typology, in God's wrath, where the unbeliever survived?
Well, in Exodus, there were survivors in Egypt.
That's not his wrath.
Yeah.
That's tribulation. I'm talking about his world destruction, and he says that. He does not say Exodus.
Right.
He says Sodom and Gomorrah and Noah.
Right.
He compares his wrath to those days. Can you give me an example of unbelievers surviving?
No.
Well, this is his wrath. This is his wrath. It's the day of wrath.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so Hebrews 11. So we're going to take those three examples. Hebrews 11:31. This is Jericho. By faith, the harlot, Rahab, perished not with them that believed not, and she had received the spies with peace. Mm-hmm. She was there. They were destroyed. All of them. So 2 Peter... You know, we could go to Genesis, we could do this, but I want to, in a nutshell, do this. 2 Peter 2:3-9, and through covetousness, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment, they have judgment, right? Now a long time lingereth not, and their damnation, this is damnation, hell, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down into hell, damnation, under, and deliver them into chains of darkness reserved unto judgment. And spare not the old world, okay, he compares the second coming to Noah, right? And spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, a creature of righteousness, bringing the flood in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. He saved, where'd they go? And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and into ashes, condemn them and overthrow, making them an ensample. So there's your typology right there. Making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. The day of judgment to be punished. Deuteronomy 29:23. The whole land, therefore, is brimstone and salt and burning, that is not sown, nor beareth, nor any grass that groweth therein, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Admah and Zeboam, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and wrath. Doug, why don't I read Job 21:30, and then Nancy, Jeremiah 10:10. Mark, Ezekiel 38:19-20.
Say the addresses when you read them, so I can write it down.
Okay, now I'm going to read Isaiah 13. Listen to Isaiah 13:9. And then we'll go Doug, Nancy, and Mark. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, with wrath, and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. So that's going to be desolate too. And he shall destroy the sinners there out of it. 13:13. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place. Sounds like the earth's going to be regenerated at the same time too. In the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and that day of his fierce anger. Go ahead, Doug.
This is 21:20 from Job. His eyes shall see his destruction, and he shall drink of the wrath of the Almighty.
Nancy?
Jeremiah 10:10. But the Lord is the true God, he is the living God, and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation.
The nations, his wrath, the earth is going to shake, and the nations are not going to be able to abide. Abide. Mark?
Ezekiel 38:19-20. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the fowls of heaven and the beasts of the field and all creeping things that creep upon the earth and all of them that are upon the face of the earth shall shake at my presence, and the mountains shall be thrown down and the sea places shall fall and every wall.
Did it say some of the men or all of the men? All. Zephaniah. Okay, so Zephaniah 1. If you guys want to turn there. Zephaniah 1, and he's actually quoting. Kev, go to Isaiah 24:1-6. Okay, then I'll read Zephaniah. So Zephaniah 1. 1-3, the word of the Lord came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hilkiah, in the days of Judah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. I will utterly consume all things from off this land, saith the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks of the wicked. And I will cut off man from the land, saith the Lord. Okay, so if you go down to 15. We'll pick it up at 14. For the great day of the Lord is near, it is near, it hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. That is a day of wrath, a day of trouble, a day of distress, a day of wastedness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. And their blood shall be poured out, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. Neither shall their silver nor their gold be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured with fire, and in his jealousy, for he will make a speedy riddance of all them that dwell on the land. All them. Speedy. Quickly. Yeah. He didn't do everything right now.
Mm-hmm.
But he's doing it in a pattern. It seems to me that when this starts to happen, it's quickly. Go ahead, Jeff.
Isaiah 24, 1 through 6?
1 through 6.
Yeah, 1 through 6. Okay. The Lord made the earth empty. And make it a waste, and turn it upside down, and scatter it as well on the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be, as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly empty and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken his word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changing the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell there and are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth have burned, and few men left.
Okay, so you can see there's a burning. So what does it mean that few men are left? This is a remnant that is left. There's a resurrection, right? On this day, the dead in Christ rise first, then the church would go up, but there's still another remnant that has to be resurrected, Jewish people. They didn't go up with us, and they weren't resurrected. They still have to be resurrected when Jesus Christ comes. He's going to spare a third of them. Zechariah 13, 8, 9 says, I will bring them through the fire. I will bring them through the fire. And Ezekiel 37, 1 through, I think, 17, is a resurrection of those Jewish people. Well, they're still going to have to be resurrected too. Those are the ones that are left, that when Christ comes down and he's burning the earth, he slaughtered people at Armageddon. He's now coming down and he's burning the earth as he's coming. But he's going to preserve the Jews like he did in Daniel. Right? Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. But yet, this is a picture of a resurrection because their hair wasn't singed. There was no burn. Ezekiel 37 says, we're going to be resurrected. It's not just a pretty song, them bones, and dry bones. This is the resurrection of the remnant of Jewish people. Go ahead, Lance. Asha. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and then thank you, Ari. Revelation 6, 16 and 17. Lance has got Romans 1:18 and Romans 2:5.
1 Thessalonians 1:10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come.
Delivered us from the wrath, not them. And we're waiting for him to deliver us from the wrath. Go ahead, Lance.
1:18 and 25?
And 1:18 and Romans 2:5.
And 2:5, okay.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness.
All, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, all ungodliness. And then it says in chapter 2, 5, it says, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God.
The revelation of God, wrath poured out on them, all them, not some of them, all them. And what do we read in Matthew 26:64? People that thought 2,000 years ago are going to see him coming. That's what he told them. You will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power. Those guys are dead. How are they going to see him? It's going to be unveiled. We don't understand that. I think this is the problem. We don't understand. We live in this linear time, this three-dimensional, and we don't really understand that. That when that dimension is open, that dimension is open too. Does it make sense?
Well, I absolutely agree that we don't understand.
Yeah.
Down with that little lockstep. You said Revelation 6 what?
6, 16, and 17.
That's what I thought. And said, through the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who is able to stand, and who shall be able to stand?
Two people. The ones that stand, and the ones that don't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it. Like you said, we don't understand, but we can't get an understanding. There's only two mm-hmm. people in this world.
Right.
There's no greater.
Right.
And Jake, you say it all the time mm-hmm. too. When he shows up, it's over.
Right.
It's clear. Either you were for him or you're against him.
Right.
So there's only two people, saved and unsaved.
Amen.
Romans 11, 15 to 18, the seventh trumpet, that would be the last one, right? And there were voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord, God Almighty, which art, which was, and which art to come, because thou hast taken thy great power and reign. And the nations were angry, this is Psalm 2, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged. Judgment, dead. And thou shouldest destroy them that destroy the earth. So there's a judgment coming for them too, right? Revelation 14, 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured without mixture. Without mixture. It's not, his wrath is not going to be watered down.
Right.
It is the full effect of God's fierce anger. Without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the Lamb thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast them into the great winepress of God. That's Armageddon. The winepress of God is when he comes and his garments are dyed red because of that. That's the winepress. That's Armageddon. Revelation 16:19. The great city was divided into three parts. Three parts. Two thirds die and go to hell, to damnation. One third get saved. The great city was divided into three parts, and the cities and the nations fell, and Babylon came into remembrance of God, and gave unto her the wine of the fierceness of her wrath. We've studied Babylon. Who's Babylon? It's them. It's the world system. It's all the unbelievers. We're heavenly Jerusalem. They are mystery Babylon. He's saying that he's going to destroy them. That's Armageddon, by the way. That's Armageddon too. Why? Because the wine press is there. Revelation 19:15. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, which he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth their winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. That's Armageddon. So here's what I've noticed. And I believe this too. Okay. So I should believe this too, that we are going to rule over them on the earth. But when you read this, He's going to rule them with the rod of his iron. He puts it at Armageddon. He doesn't put it as 1,000 years. He's putting it as a one-time slaughter. And if you chase that ruling with the rod of iron, it is literally when he comes and defeats them. It is mentioned 4 times in your Bible, and he says that he crushes them. Let's look at them. Okay, so let me just find the verses, and then we'll chase that down. He's going to rule them with the rod of iron, and he also tells us that we are going to rule them with the rod. Let me just find it. I'll be with you in a second. Okay, Revelation. So, let me read it again. Revelation 12:5. Revelation 2:27. And Psalm 2:9. Psalm 2:27. Hang on though. John, you want to go again?
Sure.
Revelation 12:5. Doug's going to read first. Revelation 12:5. Then Judy, Jake, Psalm 2:9, and then we'll go from there. So let me read this first again. And out of his mouth shall go. This is Armageddon. This is when he comes and slaughters people. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, which he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. So, the picture to me here is, it's a one-time event. It's not a thousand-year period. When he rules them with a rod, he smites them, the nations, and he defeats them. Go ahead, Judy.
Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
They're going to be dashed. See, the ruling with the rod of iron actually dashes them into pieces. I don't see where he's actually ruling for a period of time. It seems to be a one-time event of killing them. Okay, who's next?
Is it 12:5 next?
Yeah.
That's me. Okay, Revelation 12:5. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne.
So you can see there that the ruling is when he comes. And to me, it's maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, I'm not pretending to know everything. Maybe I'm wrong. But it seems to be a one-time event when he defeats people. Jake, you want to grab, what did I say?
Some said Psalm 2, but Jake, it was already read. Right.
Revelation 2:27 also mentions
12:5.
2:27.
No, it's only. No, I don't think it is.
You read that, Tom?
I read
it,
yeah.
Oh.
And there's Revelation 12:5.
Did we read Revelation 12:5?
I
read
that. Now we need Revelation 2.
Okay, all right. 2:27, Jake. My fault, guys.
Could you add 26 to that?
Absolutely.
And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father.
So, I mean, he is applying that to us. And, as we move forward with the study of this event, you'll see that God gave him a throne. God gave him a throne. God is giving us a throne. God is going to judge the nations by Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is going to judge the nations by us. We are. We're going to judge angels. We're going to judge nations, not according to our thoughts, but they are going to look upon us and say, they were right. We were wrong. You know what I'm saying? Psalm 110. So did we did all those Psalm 110? Okay. Psalm 110, I'll read it. And the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool.
Sit thou at my, what did he say? You can see he's coming at the right hand of power. He's going to dismount, mount up, slaughter people, and deliver the kingdom unto the Father.
Okay? Sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And the Lord shall send a rod of thy strength out of Zion to rule in the midst of his enemies. The people shall be willing in that in the day of thy power and the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning that thou hast the dew of youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of wrath. And he shall judge among the heathen, and he shall fill the places with dead bodies, and he shall wound the heads of over many countries. And he shall drink from the brook on the way, therefore he lift up his head. So he's applying the rod to a slaughter. All right.
And you also have Psalm 2:9 before, and it says there, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
There you go. So to me, this was always the verses that confused me, the word that rule them with a rod of iron, that I felt there that we are going to rule. That's not what it's saying. It's saying that he's going to crush them. And they're going to be under, I think they're literally going to be under us. So, that's the, so now we have the three, one more, the new heaven, no, the resurrection.
No, it talks about the morning star, and then it talks about bringing the the selected few through the fire.
Right.
And it talks about the earth being burned up. So, is the morning star, could that be the sun?
No, it is Christ.
It's
giving you the morning star. The
absolutely.
Morning star is referenced several times.
He is the morning star.
He's giving it to Jesus.
No. Yeah. He's giving people, the resurrected folks, the overcomers, the morning star. Our reward as an overcomer is Christ.
Yeah.
That is what the reward is.
Absolutely.
The 25 and 26 tell you who he's talking
to. Yeah. And he said the Son of Righteousness dwell in your heart.
He's talking to people.
Yeah, he's the morning star that was given to us.
Right.
We've said it before in this group. What is your reward?
Oh, even as I receive from my Father.
Yeah.
I will give him the morning star.
Yeah. So this next group, the new heaven and the new earth, I'm going to tie in with the resurrection. Okay? So resurrection and the end of the world. Resurrection is singular.
So
singular.
So is that signify a rebirth?
A new body?
The morning star?
We'll get into it.
Right.
What Jesus said when I we'll get into it. 1 Corinthians 15. So clearly, 1 Corinthians 15 is clearly the resurrection, clearly the rapture verse. Just look what he says here. 15. What do I got to do there? Anyway, 20 to 26. But if now Christ be risen from the dead and become the first fruits of the dead, Pentecost, we receive the Holy Spirit, we're waiting for the first fruits of the Holy Spirit to be fulfilled with the resurrection. Okay, become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection, not resurrections, of the dead. For in Adam all die, It is appointed for man once to die, then the judgment. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. So, there's one resurrection. We know there's an order to it, the dead in Christ first. Mm-hmm. Then we which are alive. Jewish people. And then the damned. So there's an order to it. Revelation 20, we're going to look at it, says the blessed and the unblessed. Okay, verse 24. Then cometh the end.
when he had delivered up the kingdom unto the Father. This is Daniel. He's going to deliver the kingdom to the Father on the earth. Even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority. Put down. Down. For he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So just think of this before we move on here. If it is appointed for man once to die, and people survive in their mortal soul, in their mortal bodies, and they don't die until they see the second death, when was their first death? They just went right to the second death. The great white throne judgment. Okay, so the question is, and I think this is where the problem is, the second death, they're already dead. The only thing that happens here is they're cast into the lake of fire. They're already dead.
Right, because of the grave and the sea and all those.
That's right.
Dead.
That's right. Dead. They're already dead, but alive.
Mm-hmm.
This makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. We know that they're dead, but they're alive. They're resurrected unto damnation.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the worm,
mm-hmm.
that's the resurrected body. Where the worm died if not, that is their resurrected body. Okay, so I just read them again. When he had delivered and put all rule under in authority and power, he must gradually put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Okay, 13, 35 to 38.
1 Corinthians
15, 35 to 38. And you know what? We got time, so I want to do this. Matthew 13. Okay. 1 Corinthians 35 to 38. But some man will say, how are the dead raised, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, thou that soweth is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be. But their grain, is it may chance of wheat or some other grains? But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Did you catch that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Verse 37 again. That which thou sowest not that body, but give it grain or a chance of wheat or some other grain. This is the wheat and the tares. This is the wheat and the tares right here. Okay, let's look at the wheat and the tares. Matthew 13. He's going to explain it. You could read it 24 to 30, but he's going to explain it from 36 on. And Jesus sent the multitude away and into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. Remember, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, and the tares are the children of the wicked one. Two seeds, two people. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The harvest is the end of the world. Are we not harvested here?
Yeah.
That's the end of the world. So there's one thing right there that tells you that's when the world ends. Okay, the harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angel. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angel, and he shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and all things. Gather out victory over them. Gather out, get out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity. And them which do iniquity. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous go forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. When is that defeated? Seems to me it's defeated here. When do we go into the kingdom? Here. When is the end of the world? Here. I just believe what I'm reading. Okay, so back to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57.
returning here, my mind's just kind of exploding here with all these little miniature explosions. The end of the world and all that's the day of the Lord. So why do we even need a thousand years?
We're going to get to that. You know what? Gotcha. We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
A thousand.
I can't remember. A thousand years is basically a thousand years, but you know. Pardon?
You can explain that.
what is the purpose of the millennial reign? It's completeness. In other words, when Jesus, I'm just going to get this in a nutshell.
Right.
Yeah. We're going to move on. When Jesus said that in this kingdom you receive 60, some 40, some 60, some 100.
Right.
100 is the completeness. Okay. That's what you're going to get in a hundredfold. That is the complete reward. The number 100 is the reward. They're going to get their reward. So if they're going to be judged by the law, Curtis, the Ten Commandments, what's 10 times 100?
1,000.
You see it?
I'm not kidding.
Do you see it?
You're saying the number 100 is complete.
It's a reward. It's complete. It's their complete reward. But not just for us, for them. So if they're going to be judged, the great white throne judgment, the books are open. They're not in the book of life. The books are open, and now they are going to get judged according to the law. The law is the moral commandments, the Ten Commandments. The fullness of it is when you double. In other words, when Jesus said, shall I forgive my brother seven times? Seven times 70. Right? And what do you have? 490. How many years was Daniel? Until total forgiveness, yeah. The second coming, 490. But yet we're 7 years short of it right now.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? It's the completeness. The number 1,000 is their complete reward. They're under there. They're suffering under here because they are getting the fullness, the hundredfold, of the reward. And we'll get into this more.
Yeah.
I promise. This is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Doesn't it make sense?
Well,
that's why.
It makes that sense. There's because we have understood Scripture in a certain
capacity
for so long.
Yes.
And this is all new to me.
Me too.
It's all new to me.
Me too.
All right. So I've got a lot of study and testing to do to this new concept.
That's all I'm doing, Curtis. Yes. I'm just throwing it out there.
Right.
I'm just throwing it out there. We're students here.
Right.
Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Okay? And then see. I'm not ashamed to say I'm wrong. I've been wrong about so many things. I'll be the first to admit it. I'm telling you right now, 2 months ago, I sat here and said, we're going to be judged, we're going to be ruling over resurrected damned people on the earth. I'm telling you right now, I believe I'm wrong. At least I can admit it.
I always thought that, like, the millennial reign, you know, people were resurrected, and the people that didn't get a chance, they were made to know God. Those are the people that were being ministered to during the thousand-year reign.
Right.
And then they're
resurrected. But here you go again, Lance. When you read your Bible, there is no proselytizing during the millennial reign. There's none. It says we're kings and priests. Does not say that we proselytize people and bring them into the kingdom. The decision is made here. And Romans 8, I hope we get to it. Well, let me rip through this. We're doing pretty good, I think. So, 1 Corinthians 15. 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we should all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. When is death swallowed up in victory? When we're incorrupted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
clear.
Because, like, at the end, when he purges the heavens,
they're already dead.
I thought that
that's right.
God was swallowed up.
So listen to what it says. Okay, so
after the millennial reign.
So he says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. You get it? They're going to be judged here. Once more, if you go back up to 50, read that for me.
This one now, this I say, brethren.
Yep.
That flesh and blood cannot inherit.
What? Wait, read that again.
Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption.
The kingdom of God comes here. I just believe my Bible. He says flesh and blood cannot inherit. Okay, so death is swallowed up in victory. He puts that at the last trump, at the resurrection. He said that's what he's saying. Okay, Daniel 12, 2, no, Acts 24, hang on, I'm all over the place. All right, bear with me.
Well done, take a deep breath.
Thank you. That's what I need. That's what I need right there.
My brain can't keep up.
Exactly.
Okay. Dad, you see where I am on the sheet there?
He's given the whole card.
Did I?
That's why you're, yeah.
Okay.
So, resurrection singular.
Okay.
Number 40, yes.
Okay.
81, 45.
No wonder I'm a mess.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just thought you were going to have some time.
No, I want to get through this. I want to, please, let me get through this. We have, this, we'll go back to normal Bible study next week, and we'll just open it up, all right? John 11, 23 and 24.
John 11, 23 and 24.
Yep.
Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day.
The resurrection on the last day. Doesn't say resurrections. Doesn't say one of the resurrections. It says the resurrection on the last day.
On the last day of what?
If the world passes away,
there's only one last day. That is the end of the world. That day, you know.
Okay, John 6, 39 to 40, and this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all which he hath given me, that I should lose none, and I should raise it up again at the last day. 40, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. No man can come up unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. 1 Peter 3 through 5, blessed be the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation to be revealed at the last time. Job knew it, 19:25-27. I know my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh.
Right.
See, this is what people don't understand. They see the word flesh, and they think they're talking about this flesh. No, a resurrected body is flesh and bone. That's what Jesus said. Handle me, touch me, see that I am not flesh and bone, not flesh and blood.
Right.
That in my flesh I shall see God. Don't do it. Whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. This is what Lauren needs to know, that you are going to literally see God in the flesh.
And he said at the beginning of that, that his worms are going to eat.
That's right. Flesh. This.
Yeah. Yes.
That's right.
Thus you were made, thus you're going to return.
So the flesh that you're going to get
is new.
Is a resurrected flesh, for like Christ.
Flesh.
Okay. Revelation 7:9, we did that. Who are these who are ready? These are came out of what great tribulation. Philippians 3:11. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, from the dead, of our conversation which is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Titus 2:13, right? Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. 1 John 3:2, beloved, doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now you're resurrected, you can now look on God. You can look on the Godhead. Jesus, when he appeared, he veiled himself.
Right?
When he appeared, who is he? I don't know. You're going to see the holiness, the completeness of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and his kingdom. Tell me how the world is going to survive that.
May I? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 or 4:17. That part had kind of got me for a while there. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. But this part, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That part right there now, I think it just clicked.
Yeah.
If heaven is
it's coming.
Then on earth. Because that whole social we ever be always comes
right
back to me like the end.
That's right.
So that whole 1,000 years then of flesh and blood being on the earth, there wouldn't be, because now we shall ever be.
Well, that's right. Boom.
That's right.
So ever since we started that study, that part right there has caught me up. So shall we ever be. Because it just sounded like an end and no more of all this.
That's right.
Other.
That's right.
Going on.
Exactly.
So now that kind of makes sense. Because heaven's coming down. All these other people are under me and death, that we're not actually ruling over flesh and blood anymore.
And here's the deal, I said, what people have done is they think that New Jerusalem is the earth. It's not. New Jerusalem is the city.
Four square. Right.
Four square that is coming down on a new earth. And as it's coming down, the Holy Spirit, Jesus in Malachi said, he's coming as a refiner's fire. Like we've said all along, as he's coming, the Holy Spirit, what did John say? I come to you, baptize you in the name and the Holy Spirit. Another come to you, baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's the latter rain. It's fire. When Pentecost was given out, what were the tongues? Fire. This is his purifying act. For us, it's purifying. For them, it's damnation. As it's coming down, he is pushing them down. We're on the earth, purified by fire. First Peter says, think not strange concerning the fiery trial you're going to get. We're going to go through the fire. The Jews are going to go through the fire, and he's going to refine them, and he's going to give them a new body, and they are going to, fire is going to be down here, and they're going to be burned.
So in my mind, what I see is a hydraulic cylinder.
Yes.
Pressure
goes
down,
pressure
goes out. And so you have this plate.
Yes.
As it were, as pressure comes in, it pushes pressure through hoses, which causes things to work.
That's right.
Everything stretched out.
That's right.
So it's like a hydraulic cylinder. As the pressure of heaven comes down on the earth, all of the things on the earth get pushed down.
That's right. Because his kingdom is coming. We're going to dwell on the earth. This is the portal. This is where we meet God in New Jerusalem. That's the dimensional. We are going to dwell on the earth.
Thanks, kids. Yeah. Oh, I thought he was going to write something.
Okay, so let me get through this. Let me just finish. Deb said, I skipped some stuff. So you can see that. Revelation 25:6, but the rest of the dead live not again until 1,000 years were finished. Blessed, this is the first resurrection. Blessed
and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection of Son. I want you to see it. Turn to Revelation 1. I want you to see it.
Yeah, we got 15 minutes. I mean, it is.
Well, let me just go. We might be able to get to it. Because I really do. I want to get into this next week. If we don't, we don't. If we do, we do. Okay. Revelation 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, the chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, and Satan, bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be finished. After that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones. That's this. We're judging. The throne. I saw thrones, and they had sat on them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for a witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not received his mark, neither worship beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the dead lived not again. Right?
Yeah,
but the dead.
Well, the rest of the dead.
That's right. But the rest of the dead lived not again till 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So what does that mean, lived not again? Well, first of all, you're standing before God here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you're not, they're going to be released. They're going to live. They're already resurrected. They're going to be released on the earth. They're going to live again. God's going to consume them. He's going to bring them to the great white throne judgment. That's living again. They're going to live again here, and then they're going to be thrown into the second death. They've already been resurrected of the damnation. I'll show you it. Six. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection, and such the second death had no power. Okay, so there's one resurrection. Okay. One resurrection, right? It says there's a part to it.
Right?
The dead and great, here's the blessed. One resurrection, here's the wicked. Through the resurrected. There's an order to it. Then Christ, then we, Jewish people, the wicked. Blessed, unblessed. Same resurrection, part one, part two. Same event. It's here. We'll get more into this as we move on to this study here. Okay, so that's Revelation. Incidentally, what's the second death?
Being cast out.
They're already dead.
Right.
The second death is just being cast into the lake of fire. Hell is not the lake of fire.
Right.
Lake of fire is worse than
hell. Hell is cast into the lake of fire.
That's right.
Death. So, okay. Satan's locked up for 1,000 years. All right. All of the folks who do not know Jesus Christ are in that spot with him for 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, they
are released. Right. Verse 10 in Revelation 20, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire. Verse 7. And when 1,000 years were expired, Satan was loosed out of his prison. Mercy. He's in prison.
Yeah.
That's in hell.
He's in a holding center.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. In. There are nations in the earth. Babylon is going in the earth. It'll be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon. They're going to be judged according to their nations. There are nations in the earth. So he says, okay, verse 9, four quarters of the earth, God and Magog are principalities.
Right.
They're devils.
Right.
They're here.
They're Russia and China.
They're here.
They're principalities and powers. So right now, there are at this time, they'll be under the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Which has compressed them like a hydraulic cylinder.
That's right.
Into a hydraulic hose, as it were.
Okay. And so God and Magog can gather them to battle.
the number of whom is in the sand of the sea. Are you telling me that there are going to be billions and billions? Sand of the sea are billions.
Right.
On the earth, we're here. That is all the unbelievers that have been judged and resurrected unto damnation. Okay, look at the next verse. Read it. 9. Nancy?
And they went upon...
Where? They went up?
And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them.
Devoured them. Didn't say kill them. Devoured them. Means to consume them. Right? If they go up on the breadth of the earth, where are they? They're living again. Hey, let's go get them. We can beat them again. Let's get them this time. They go up. This is not a battle. This is, boom, it's over. And he consumes them. They go to the great right throne judgment. Now they're cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Okay. Okay, so that Luke 4:14. Thou shalt be blessed, for thou cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed in the resurrection of the just. Acts 24:15. Yeah, so he's talking to the Pharisees. This is Paul. He says, he's talking about his faith. He says, and have hope toward God, which they themselves allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and just.
Yes.
Same with that?
Just and unjust, yeah.
Okay. Daniel 12, 2. Oh, man, I almost want to go there. No. Many of them that sleep in the dust shall awake. Some to everlasting life, some to everlasting shame and contempt. Same again. Okay, John 5:28-29. Marvel not at this, for the hour. See, this is what I think is about to happen. The resurrection, the death of Christ first, and the Jews, this is 1 hour. And in between all that, we have Armageddon. Right? Okay, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I don't see two events. I see one event. And even matter of fact, he puts it in the same hour. Okay, so then we covered a whole lot of that with Corinthians. I just want to go back to 24:3. It says, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, say, tell us when these things shall be, which shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world. And the end of the world. So 29-31 is the resurrection in Matthew 24. Okay, and then 34 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So he is putting this event of the second coming, the end of the world, heaven and earth is going to pass away. Right? Make sense? Okay. Let me finish.
Okay.
All right. Luke 20:35. Here's that world. Here's that world that's coming. But they which are accounted to obtain that world and the resurrection of the dead. Neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels. Here's the resurrected body. And are children of God, being children of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed in the bush which called upon the Lord, God Abraham, the God Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Okay, Matthew 19:28. I'm trying to tie this in with the regeneration of the earth. End of the world, Jesus said, end of the world. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration. When? Here? Or here? When the Son of Man shall sit on his throne of glory. Mm-hmm. The regeneration, the dispensationalists changed this word. Refurbish.
Right.
That's not rearranging the furniture here. He's not putting a paint job. He's regenesising this.
Yeah.
And you need a regenesis body to be on a regenesis earth for God to dwell on.
Son of man shall sit on his throne of glory, and you shall sit upon 12 thrones, there's the judging, of 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken house, brethren, sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold. It's the complete reward. And shall inherit everlasting life, but many of the first shall be last, and the last first. Mark 10, same synoptic gospel, and Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, that man that left house, brethren, sisters, mother, brother, you know, gone. That he shall receive 800-fold in this time, houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, and land with persecutions and in the world to come. Many that are first shall be last, and last first. Luke 18, same synoptic gospel. And he said unto them, verily, I say unto you, that no man that left house for parents, for brethren, wife, children, for the kingdom's sake, who shall not receive manifold in this present time and in the world to come.
Okay, my wife has a question here. She said, I don't understand. Oh, I'm sorry. I understand what my wife said. Yeah.
Okay, pass away. Yeah. So pass away. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Isaiah 51, 1 through 6. Hearken unto me, ye fellow righteousness. Ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and the hole in the pit which ye are dig. Look unto Abraham, your father, and Sarah that bare you. I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. The Lord shall comfort Zion. He will bear you. He will comfort all the waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert place like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be therein, thanksgiving and joy, a voice of melody. Hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O nation, for the law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment rest for a light of the people. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. My arm shall judge the people. The isles shall wait upon me, and my arm shall they trust. Lift up your eyes to heaven. Look upon the earth beneath, for the heaven shall vanish away like a smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. 1 Thessalonians, turn to 2 Peter 3 and Revelation 21. 1 Thessalonians 4, 5, 1 through 4. But at the times, talk about the second coming, Asha, right? 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 through 4. But in the times of the seasons, brethren, ye have no need but write unto you, so you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. When they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction upon them, and they shall not escape. That you are not in the darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. Verse 9, God not appointed us to wrath for the salvation. So how's it coming? As a thief in the night? Okay, 2 Peter 3, 3. He's going to compare it to the flood of Noah when he destroyed the world. 6, we'll pick it up at 6 for sake of time. Whereby the world was then being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this: one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. But the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works thereof shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking toward and hasting up unto the coming day of God, in which the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Okay? Thief in the night. So, and I know people will say, well, you can just spread it out. But he's coming one day as a thief in the night. Well, I'm told he's going to melt the elements as a thief in the night. Okay, look at verse 13, and then turn to Revelation 21. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth where dwelleth righteousness. Where dwells righteousness. Okay. Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Okay? Were. What did he say? Heaven and earth will pass away. He said they were passed away. When did they pass away? Here. Right? They already. See, a lot of people want to put the recreation here because it's in Revelation 21. But, well, it must be at the end. That's not how you read your Bible, and it's not how you study prophecy. So I gathered up
the people, no more sea.
The wicked, this is actually what's taking place.
Now, right there. Let me ask this, the word sea, is it referring
to? Yes, the wicked.
Is he talking about water?
The sea of iniquity.
Yeah.
The sea of iniquity. And we'll get into that. Yeah. They are the sea of iniquity. They're going to be taken out. Okay? And I, John, saw the holy city, holy Jerusalem, coming down from heaven, prepared as a bride. Is that not us?
Yeah.
Okay, for her husband. And a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle, there it is, of God is with men. And he will dwell with them, they shall be his people, and God himself shall dwell with them and be their God. And here it is. This is 1 Corinthians 15. Death is swallowed up in victory. Here. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crime, nor shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Heaven and earth pass away, but my words don't pass away. Pass away. See, it's being passed away. In Revelation 20, where it says the earth fled, it passed away. And there was no place found for them. It passed away here. No place found for them. It's the new earth. They're not on it. They don't get to be on it. Does it make sense?
You have any questions? Okay, so you have hell, right?
Right.
And then the earth is going to melt. And hell is in earth. So where does hell go?
Hell, at the great white throne, so everybody's in death, not just humans, fallen angels, Satan, false prophet, antichrist, they're in hell. God takes death and hell, and he casts them into outer darkness.
And you're saying, but the new heaven and the earth are already there before the millennial reign, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm here.
Right, so, but hell is still inside.
Absolutely.
At that point.
In. They're not on.
Until it's destroyed. Again, picture the
it didn't say it was destroyed. It just said the earth was melted.
Picture the hydraulic cylinder.
Yeah, I know you like that.
Right? No other way to put it. You know,
it pushes the wicked down.
Right.
Well, actually, I think I'm going to actually agree with Lance. The earth, when God flooded the planet, it was the same planet.
Yeah.
But the planet changed.
Right.
The God said, well, see, time and time, the earth remains forever. He could say that the sun and the moon are going to be forever.
Right.
What he said is we have no need of them in the Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. When he's going to bring it back to Eden, but it's the same planet. But he's going to regenerate it back to the way it was
at
the
end. You're saying they're going to come back out at the end because Satan does say he's going to mislead people when he's released from the pit.
Yeah.
But that will only be for a moment.
That's a short,
I know I threw a lot, but we're going to move on.
I have time for questions.
Go ahead.
No one else is going
to ask. Yeah, that's true.
All right. Revelation 20, verse 5. But the rest of the dead live not again until the thousand years are finished. This is the first resurrection. So you have the first resurrection down there by the right before the great white throne judgment, right?
No.
First resurrection is here.
I was just writing on the board here.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Totally.
That's why I need him to make. I gave him a chart to put up.
Right.
First resurrection is that the day of
clearly.
Okay.
And what does it mean that the dead live not again? It just means that they didn't stand before God again.
Right.
Because everyone is standing at the judgment seat here in the resurrection. They're cast down, we're going home. To me, it does not say that they are resurrected again. It said that the dead live not. The dead. What does that mean? That they didn't stand before God. The next time they stand before God is at the great, great throne judgment. And what does he do? He casts them into the lake of fire, which is the second death. There's so many places I can go here. If it is appointed for man once to die, and then cometh the judgment, if you have a bunch of wicked people living on the earth during this 1,000 year, and they die here, when was their first death? They immediately went to the second death. When did they get the first death? See, this is where the reward, this is the judgment. This is where the reward is given. Either resurrected to life or resurrected to damnation.
There's a lot of people that die after the resurrection. Because, you know, the greatest earthquake hits.
The earthquake,
see, it all comes on the same day.
Yeah.
The day of the Lord.
Yeah.
That's when the earthquake.
I think what Jason said, you have the judgment seat of Christ before or after Armageddon?
After.
There we go. That's the resurrection of the damned. Armageddon is the slaughter of the humans on the earth. Everyone. We got to go.
Well, there's nobody else showing up.
Somebody just
waiting.
Yeah, talk about cards.
Listen, what do you mean? No, we will.
Watch it.
This was brought up last week, too, which is where it says this is the first resurrection.
That throws people off.
To me, again, the first, when you hear the word first, it's the implication is there's a second.
That's the implication, but he's not saying that. And that he's not saying this, he says, blessed is he that had part. So there's one resurrection.
Why are you saying the resurrection as opposed to saying the first resurrection?
Because the blessed are the first part of it. The wicked are the second part of it. So he's saying, blessed is he who had part in the first resurrection. So there's a resurrection, there's an order to it. The blessed and then the wicked. So, blessed is he who had part in the first resurrection, that the second death, not resurrection, the second death had no part. Alright. Now?
Now we got other folks going on. I thought we were just going to have to do this for like 3 hours today, you know?
Is it not fun? I mean, is it not at least fun or...
Before the rest of the death.
In other words, they're the people that get slaughtered, the world gets brought to Armageddon. They get slaughtered. They meet the rest of the world. There's already dead people down here that they have to get resurrected. Right? They're gonna come and what did he say? I'm gonna bring up Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment. So everyone, the rest of the dead are now going to join the dead, and they stand before God as a group. Okay, let's pray. Is it not at least fun?
Yeah.
I think it's very interesting.
Okay.
And once again, we're all agreed here.
Right.
It's just some things that are going on here today. Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity. I thank you for your perfect word. Lord, I'm a man. You said God be true and every man a liar. I would pray that where I'm in error, that you would not hold it against my brothers and sisters. Where I'm in the error, Lord, that you would fix it, that you would correct it. But please, remember, I'm just dust, Lord, and I do these things because I believe your word. And I pray that what you have showed me, if it's not true, that you would show me the truth, whether through one of my brothers or sisters, or through you and your perfect word. But I thank you, God, for the opportunity that this church, we get into things that are neat, that are deep. And nothing but good can come out of studying your word and digging deeper and deeper. You said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's all we want to do, Lord. We want our faith strengthened. We are faithful. Help us in our unfaithfulness. Lord God, we put ourselves before you as just beggars, asking, sitting at your feet, asking you to show us the truth.
and I pray for Curtis as he brings forth more of your perfect word, that you would just fill our hearts and draw us near to you. In Jesus' name, amen.